It's amazing how we can create these mental gymnastics hoops to jump through to make everything make sense. I really had it in my head that no wife actually enjoys sex. Like, that's just something guys do.
What's up, everybody? This is Matt here with the Husband and Law Podcast. This is where we share our stories of love, ex-love, marriage, ex-marriage, divorce, ex-divorce, and coming out of a closet that needed to be opened, and so much more. This podcast is for those who are looking to up their relationship game by understanding first yourself and then others, like your wife, your husband, and your wife's ex-husband on a whole new level. Welcome to the Husband and Law Podcast. Let's get this party started.
All right, my friend, this week on the podcast, we are switching things up just a tiny bit, and we are welcoming Alina Joy to the podcast. Alina Joy was in a heteronormative relationship, a member of the Mormon Church, and a stay-at-home mom of four kids. Her husband was a scoutmaster and on his way to being the bishop when one evening a friend made a comment that made her rethink everything she had been taught and everything she knew about herself. Join us as Alina Joy shares how she went from her darkest days to filling this world with more hope, joy, and love. Welcome, Alina Joy, to the podcast. Alina Joy, I am so excited to have you on the podcast today. Thank you for coming and sharing your story with us.
Very excited. This is going to be great.
And I also love that I have been following you on social media for a while and we've kind of connected a little bit, but now we get to dive in together. There's things about social media and the internet that I just love, and this is one of them.
Mm-hmm. I agree. It brings really incredible people together. Yes.
Yeah. So thank you for being here. So let's dive in to your story. I know when people tell me that, I'm like, I know exactly where to start. And I'm guessing you do too, because you are an old hat at this.
All right. Let's see. We'll take it to 2017. I was a married Mormon stay-at-home mom of four kiddos. My husband at the time was very successful in his career. We were living in that neighborhood. Every community has one, right? We were in that one. And we were living that life in that ward, that Mormon congregation. He was literally the scoutmaster. I was literally the Cub Scout, like, coordinator person. We ran scouts in that ward. And pretty much everyone kind of figured he would be the next bishop. Like, that kind of sequence really happened quite often, you know, scoutmaster to bishop pipeline.
You were on the path.
We were on the path, the very straight and narrow path.
Oh,
yes. And it was April and things had been rough internally for a couple years. I couldn't figure out why. I kept doubling down on my scripture study and on my testimony and on my service and on my temple work. Like, I just kept trying to make things feel good again. Looking back, I realized I was in the midst of a crazy depression, and I had also lived with so much anxiety throughout my life that I didn't even recognize it as anxiety. Mm. I thought that's how everyone functioned, right? Which was the justification that I gave pretty much everything in my life. It's amazing how we can create these mental gymnastics hoops to jump through to make everything make sense, right? Like, I really had it in my head that no wife actually enjoys sex, right? Like, that's just something guys do. And that has been reiterated for generations. That wasn't only my, like, internal justification. That is what generations of women have been telling their daughters. Like, it's for your husband. Don't have a huge expectation, right? Like, that kind of thing. So that's really where I was. And I'll never forget, there was this one night, a friend had taken me out for a little girl's night treat, right? We were standing in line to order our cinnamon rolls and our Cokes. And she made some kind of joke. And I had responded with, well, it's not like any wife actually enjoys sex. And there was like that awkward pause. She kind of looked at me like, oh, no, some of us do. And that was, even though it had been years of feeling like I was on the outside of this experience that very much drives our society, right? Sex. It was that moment that I realized, like, no, it's real. It, my outsideness, my lack of fulfillment and satisfaction and all of it is real. And that was an eye-opener. And it wasn't many months later before I was learning how to fly fish and finding peace within my body for the very first time in my entire life. And it was a peace I had never known before. I hadn't known that peace in the Mormon temple. I hadn't known that peace in my marriage, right? It was a peace that was a depth of safety within my own body. I had always felt like, well, I'd been taught and I believed that my body was this distraction. It was this temptation. And it was my job to overcome my body, to ignore it almost, right? And it was in those moments of this deep inner peace that I felt that I realized I need to get back to my body and figure out what it's trying to tell me, because I think maybe that's where I can find this peace outside of fly fishing on a river. And it became very clear, like literally within weeks, it became very clear that I was very attracted to women and I was not at all attracted to my husband. And I chose. It felt like the only way. So it didn't feel like a choice. But I, on the suggestion of a friend in my ward, I signed up with this therapist in town who said that he could fix you. He'd been doing it for 40 years and it would just take a few months if I worked real hard. And so I signed up 4 days a week, 2 hours a day. And 6 months later, I was ready to unalive myself. And there was a date set and there was a plan. And that is incredibly common. It happens to 57% of conversion therapy participants. I didn't know that at the time, of course. I had no idea that that's what I had gotten myself into and what the possible consequences would be. And I don't think anyone knew that, right? That's not disclosed. It's not like there's a paperwork that you sign that says there's a 57% chance that you're going to want to unalive yourself. Like, that doesn't happen. So there's no blame there, like on my husband or my bishop or the person who recommended that I go. There's no, if any of them had known that, if I had known that, I would not have been involved, but I didn't. But it was through the healing from that experience to realize how close I had come to leaving my babies that created this incredibly strong desire to stay, no matter what, whatever needed to change. It does not matter because it will mean I'm alive. So that became just the goal, the absolute one objective, to stay on this earth, both feet here. And through that, I was able to make some really incredible choices, like moving out on my own for the first time since I was 20 years old, you know, and really reevaluating my relationship with God and my relationship with this religion. And really evaluating how I was raising my kids and the changes that happened from that, I'm not sure they could have come about any other way. So that was 2018 when that all went down.
So you went through a huge shift in a year. Like, yes. This, like, what a drastic change and a needed change, obviously. Mm-hmm. And just hearing everything you went through in that year, like, I was teary and hearing that, because it's way more common than we understand or that we hear about. And I was on the other end of that for years, watching my husband believe he could change who he was and me just thinking, you can't change this. It's something you have to embrace. Like, there's no way to change it. And it genuinely breaks my heart when I hear about people in conversion therapy, like the yes, which I know you have deep thoughts on. so yes. So what has your life looked like moving forward since that point?
It's wild. It's one of those situations where it's totally different, but really not that different all at the same time, right? Like, we live 5 miles away from where I lived before. My ex-husband and I actually moved to the same neighborhood so that our kids could walk to each other's house as well as their schools within walking distance as well. Because I had been the queen of carpools. At one point, I was running 3 or 4 carpools a week because I had kids in different schools. And I knew I wouldn't be able to do that with needing to pay the bills, right? And put food on the table. So I knew I needed the kids to be able to walk where they needed to go. And so that became the plan. So we still live in this very suburban, very Mormon neighborhood. and my kids go to school and I work from home and many things are very similar. I have, of my four kids, my two oldest are both BYU students. Like that didn't change, right? Like a lot of things didn't change. And yet at the same time, like fundamental, beautiful, incredible things have changed. For example, one of my kiddos has come out to me. And so to be able to have paved that path for them is absolutely incredible. And now in my home, we're just constantly talking about queer culture and queer society and using a lot of those, which necessitates using a lot of those critical thinking skills that we never really employed before, right? So I would say that's probably one of the biggest differences is me learning how to use critical thinking skills and then learning how to integrate that into my children's life so that they can start questioning things and start making more authentic decisions a whole lot sooner than I did.
Yeah. Hopefully, I mean, all of our kids are going to experience heartache and hard things, but I always feel like my goal for my kids is for them to be connected to themselves. Like, I'm like, if you can find that connection, it makes it at least a little bit easier, a little bit easier to carry when we have that connection back to ourselves. And it sounds like that is the gift you are giving your kids, and what a beautiful gift to give.
Thank you. I love that.
I also love seeing your face light up when you talk about the shifts, the emotional shifts, the internal shifts that happen. Like, yes, the outward appearance is very similar, and what a gift it is. And also there's a joy that comes with that and a peace. So I love that.
Yeah, it is a beautiful thing to realize like everything is self-decided now, self-chosen, and to really discover who I am. You know, when you play a role for 20 years, by the time we got divorced, we'd been married 18, 19 years, you know, and to be able to really dig in and discover like who I really am and also to get out of the way and let my body speak. Like there's just so many levels of discovery that is still happening that is very exciting. And I hope it continues to happen for a long time.
And there is so much power listening to our bodies. I think we often discount what our bodies are telling us. I'm like, no, they are speaking to us. That is like the gift of having a body, is that it's telling you things. It's speaking to you. But we're so afraid to listen because we've been taught, whether through religion or parenting or whatever, that our bodies, that what we believe, what we hold in ourselves is not right, that it's wrong, that we need to question it instead of embracing what is there to be had.
Right. And it's really incredible to see how quickly it can track back to this heteronormative patriarchal society. Because, for example, here was my body trying for two decades to tell me, you don't enjoy this. That is why you are not satisfied, right?
Yeah.
But then you, like, my current partner grew up as an athlete, went to college for sports, all the things. And while they would say they never had that struggle, I definitely see them like, I have to push my body. If I'm not pushing my body, then I'm not succeeding, right? If my body is tired and run down, it needs to get tougher, right? Like I need to work harder. And so to me, that's just like another level of that. It's almost the capital. I mean, it's just the foundation for everything, right? Like I could go off on that.
And I think that's the point of this life really, is to understand and break down these things we've been taught to connect to ourselves. Like, how do I get connected to who I am? How do I understand who I am? And in turn, ideally, that helps us be able to understand other people and accept their lives, because we've realized what a journey it's been for ourselves. It was interesting listening to you talk about some of these things and seeing the parallel between the, like, as a straight partner who's gone through the other side of this. So often I work with individuals who have also lost themselves in the relationship. And now that the relationship is over, because like they knew something was off and they couldn't pinpoint it, and they made it about them until they knew. And then they're like, oh my gosh, this wasn't about me, but it is. And like, you know, it's this weird dynamic. And so there is a beautiful process of getting to know ourselves again. And I always tell people, I'm like, this is the greatest gift you will ever be given. I know it doesn't feel like that now. But watching these individuals evolve on both sides of this equation into who they were divinely created to be, or however you think of that, just who they are, is a beautiful process when we lean into it. Not everybody does.
Thank you. Yes, not everyone does.
Not everybody leans into that. And I understand that on both sides. And that's part of like why I love chatting with the individual on the other side and sharing your story, is because there's an opportunity here for both of us to grow and to learn if we're willing to take it.
Mm-hmm.
We have to figure out how to navigate that.
For sure. And especially in those next relationships that we have, because it's so easy to take that role that you were trying to play and see if you can play it better in that next relationship. And I think especially on the queer side, we often bring our heteronormative gender roles into that next relationship. And that just does not work in a queer relationship. It frankly, it doesn't work in a straight relationship either,
no.
Right? So, yeah. So it's like at some point, you've got to figure out how you're going to deconstruct those assigned roles and how you're going to interact on the actual authentic level. Yeah.
So I know you have taken some of your experiences and now utilize them in your life for your work and nonprofits and all the things. Tell us a little bit about what you're doing and how you kind of got to where you are doing that.
Absolutely. So in 2019, I ended up giving a TED Talk about my experience with conversion therapy. It was not illegal in Arizona at the time. It's still not illegal in about half of our states. And even where it is banned, it's only banned for minors. So there's no state that would have protected me. There's only three major countries in the world that have banned it outright. Canada is one of them. So in that realization and realizing how many people were going through that experience, currently we have about 800,000 survivors in the United States of conversion therapy. Many of them are youth. And to realize that if I, as a college-educated, middle-class white woman, could be sucked into a life-threatening situation disguised as therapy, what's happening to all these kids who have no say in the situation, whose parents, I believe, are truly trying to do the right thing, are truly feeling like this will help my child, right? It's completely unaware of the consequences, right? That's where I realized, like, oh, I have a voice here. I am a mom and I can speak to this. And so I did the TED Talk and it went a little bit viral. It went live in November of 2019. And I started getting a lot of speaking requests at different colleges and parenting groups and things. And that was going full force. And then March of 2020 hit. And we all landed face down in our couches wondering what the hell is going on. And I had all of these schools and these students contacting me saying, I had just come out. My parents don't know, or my parents aren't affirming. And now I'm trapped in my house and I don't know how to function, right? And the self-harm rate skyrocketed in our community. The suicide rate skyrocketed in our community. Things were bad. And so I started doing inclusive leadership DEI trainings for corporate. And that part of my business has really taken off in the most beautiful way. I have absolutely incredible clients. For example, I worked with a public utility company in the Pacific Northwest. They have developed an entire new section of their employee handbook all around gender transition. This is how it happens. This is how people are not allowed to respond. This is how people are allowed to respond. Like the whole process, like that is life-giving, life-changing.
Yes.
It is a beautiful part of my life that I adore. I get to work with queer individuals in lots of different ways. And I've previously also been able to work with parents, which has been super fun because I get to walk that line again. You know, I've got this very conservative background. I understand the logic. I understand the language. I can speak it. I understand what it's like to be a parent of a queer child. It's hell of scary. And I understand what it's like to be the adult lesbian that is trying to navigate life with four kids in a very conservative part of the world.
So beautiful what you have taken and done with this. And I love the work that is coming out, that there are places for individuals who are queer to go find support and to know they're not alone. Because ideally, it keeps more people out of our situation, even though I feel, you know, my going through this experience has led me to beautiful places, and I am so grateful for it. And I adore my ex-husband. And also, I don't want people to go through what you and him had to go through. I don't want individuals to have to get to that point of feeling that they are better off not here with us, not sharing their light. So what beautiful work that you do. I am so grateful.
Thank you. And I really think we are getting to that point, which is amazing. For all of the vitriol that we see, for all of the nastiness that we see against our community, what it's really against is the fact that we are changing the expectation. We literally right now, and frankly, I would put it on Gen Z for better or for worse, that generation will never assume that their kids are straight or cis. They never will. They have seen too much. You know what I mean? Like, that future has fully changed. So I think that that's happening. Like, as much as what we're going through right now sucks, I mean, we've had almost 100 anti-LGBTQ plus bills filed in the last 10 days alone.
So crazy.
Right? Like, as hard as that is to see and to hear and to feel, the reason that is happening is because reality is changing, period.
I'm so grateful to hear that from somebody who is thick in the work on the other side, because that fills me with hope. That's the hope. That's the goal at this point, is for people to just come together. I truly don't believe life is about whether or not we're right or wrong or any of that, but I think it's about learning how to love ourselves and other people. That's it. Even when we disagree. And so I'm so glad you see that hope and joy on the other side. Thank you for sharing that.
Yeah.
Thank you again for sharing all of this. And as we wrap up, I would love for you to share where people can connect with you. I'm also going to link your TED Talk down there, so we'll make sure people can get a hold of that. We need more education around all of these things, so we'll put it all there. So share with us where people can find you and how they can do all the things.
Yeah. I am on Instagram. Elena Joy Speaks. I am most active on LinkedIn because that's my corporate career, right? That's where I am.
Thanks again. It was so great to connect with you. I always say in real life, even though it's still over yeah. the internet, but it feels so much more personal and direct. So thank you for sharing your story. And thank you for just showing up with love and light in your life.
Thank you, Jessica. I appreciate it.
My friend, I hope you enjoyed today's episode of the Husband Law Podcast. It was such a treat to have Elena Joy here to share her story and to connect with her. She has been a light in my life as I've watched her share and help uplift others along the way. You can connect with her by heading to our show notes. You can listen to our TED Talk. It is linked in the show notes. All of the things are there for you. And also, if you enjoyed today's episode, please be sure to share it. And also, please be sure to leave us a rating and review. Remember, this is my birthday month, and leaving a rating review would mean the world to me and the best birthday present you could give me at this time. I would love, love, love to hear your thoughts and feelings on the podcast, as well as spreading some love to those guests who have been brave and bold enough to come and share their stories with us during these last few months. I hope that you have a fabulous week, and I am sending you all the love, my friend. Take care.